three. Chuck, 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 chuck. Am I coming through? Hello. Am I here? Okay. Well, this is a celebration of what God has been doing in India, but it's, you know, just the excitement of just Max leading a team to Guatemala, hearing what is happening in Israel. Exciting times. The Lord is working. Praise God. I had the privilege of leading seven people to India, and it just occurred to me that I led seven. Our very first trip quite a few years ago was seven, and it was a completely different trip than we had this year. But the Lord is working. I have some notes here I'm going to try and follow. My mind can go scatterbrained, especially when I'm trying to share so much information and what is happening over in India. So here we go. Thank you for being here and for your prayer and support for us, India, and the Indian people. I will make this short because I want others to have the opportunity to share, and I don't want to take up all the time. This was my third time going to India and to West Bengal area, and I would say that this was my favorite trip so far. Some may say it was because I was accompanied by my wife, Becky. That was a blessing, I will agree, for I prayed many years for the Lord to draw her to the conclusion that he wanted her to step out in faith and make the trip with me. But the main reason for my excitement and that I thought this was the best trip was because of the people. The smiles and the joy the Lord gives to all his people. Whether here in the States or abroad, we are all one big family in the eyes of the Lord. We need to remember what we need to remember is that the nations of the world all came from the same place, from one of the three sons of Noah, according to Genesis 10. In other words, God made us one big family. Though we are in different locations, cultures, and geographical locations, we are still imprinted with the image of God and share in the dignity of human existence. He delights in our rich cultural diversity and variety, which he has created. We need to learn to do the same. And that is one thing that I've learned is that, you know, we speak about going abroad to India, we speak about going to Guatemala and such. Sometimes we are so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. Sometimes we think so far into the future that we forget about where we're at right now. And coming back from India, I'm sure it has changed all of us. Just like when you go to Guatemala, it changes your view on things. And I encourage not just our team, but you as well, to not just think about Guatemala, India, but think about the person who's right across the street. So that was a big thing that I think I got back from this trip, one of the things. Another thing that was a big highlight for me was the teaching. We ended up, while we were there, we spent four days teaching the men. We had a lot more men this year than we had last year, and they came expecting a lot, which was a great thing because, you know, they're coming, they're hearing from God's word from us, and what a challenge it is for us, but God's word delivered. I want to thank Scott Kay for the use of his teaching material on what is God like, his attributes, and who is man. We spent 4 days talking to the men about who God is, his attributes, and in relationship who God is, that speaks a lot about who we are as men. And we talked about relationships of leadership in family, in the church. And so this is all material and information that they have never heard before. And so it was exciting to bring the material. And again, want to thank Scott Kay for that. We all, teacher and student, were blessed and challenged by God's word. While we were there, as we were teaching this material, this is only lesson two of, I guess there is four different teaching lessons. Each lesson plan had 12 to 16 lessons, and we only had session two out of, I guess there's six sessions. So even while we were there, we were like, man, what does the rest of his material have to say? We were excited as the people that we were speaking to. The pastors, church planters couldn't get enough. They are thirsty and hungry for more. Before we left, there was already talk of it being translated in other dialects and languages to minister all over West Bengal and beyond. So before we even left, these pastors, these lay pastors, were so excited about what we brought that they were already wanting copies. They were taken aback and already wanting to change it into other languages and such so they can speak to people in Nepal and other, like I said, other dialects. We learned that, what are there, 25,000 different languages just in India? And so it's exciting to see what God's doing there. Another thing that we heard is, when are we coming back to teach them more? And they kept asking us that over and over again. So the harvest is great in India. Many home churches are starting all over the area. And one of the home churches that we ended up going to on the way to Darjeeling, which is up at the foothills of the Himalayas. And it was exciting to see young people involved in the service. And I tried to send a video with some audio to Gary. So we're going to see if we can go ahead and play some of that so you can get a sample of some of their worship by their young people. So go ahead, if it works. It's going to be probably blurry. It came from my phone to a big, huge screen. If it doesn't work, we'll just continue. Okay. I said this was going to be short. Now I'm talking too much. We're just going to move on, Gary. Don't worry about it. So please continue to pray for Eric Zellers as he's over there in New Delhi teaching pastors. Continue to lift up Ashish and Soma and Kristen Matthew. Pray for these pastors that are going out and starting these churches all over in the West Bengal area and beyond. And please pray that God will continue what God has started, and that is for us to return to India again next year. Thank you.
Hello. Good morning, y'all. Bear with me. I thought I was going to print this out, but I never got the chance, so using technology. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Becky Saylor. I'm Steve's wife. Many of you will remember this, some of you won't, but about 1.5 to 2 years ago, when Steve decided to lead the second team to India, everybody was always asking me if I was going, or they were assuming that I was going because I was his wife. And I always said, heck no, I am not going to India, and I am never going to India, because I felt very strongly that I would never go, and I had no desire to go whatsoever. Well, after that trip that he led, when they got back, the Lord really started to work on my heart. And soon I knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that I was supposed to go to India. And I don't know who was more surprised, me or Steve, but we were very shocked, both of us, that my heart and my mind and my desire was totally changed. And so I agreed to go. The strange thing that happened with that was that as the year or the time got closer for March, I didn't get more nervous, I got more excited. And really, I was not nervous, not near as nervous as I am right at this moment. So, That was a good thing. The whole thing was very much a God thing. One thing that I learned, and probably the biggest thing that I learned on this trip, was how to completely trust God with everything. Because when I went on this trip, I felt so out of control that I had no control over anything. And from the plane ride was scary to me, not because I didn't like to fly, because I love to fly, but because it was such a long flight and I was nervous about being in a plane for so long without being able to get out. But I never had one instance of nervousness in all the flights that we went on. One awkward moment, because on a flight from New Delhi to Bagdogra, I had to sit in between two Indian men. And it was a very small plane and very cramped, and it was a very awkward situation. And also my other fears were just like malaria, getting sick, the food. I'm not very adventurous when it comes to food, lice. But when I went, I could tell you for certain that I had a confidence that I've never had before and a boldness to go. And that was only because of the Lord. It was nothing from me. I don't know. Did you get the pictures, Gary? Are those going to be shown or no? Okay, that's fine. One of the sweetest times for me was when I worked with the young girls in Kalpara. These girls were brought up in a brothel. This is the red light district. And yet when we worked with the girls, you soon forgot, you know, where you were. We soon forgot that we were there in a brothel and, you know, where they came from and what was going on outside of our little classroom. Their sweet smiles and their personalities just shone. They were respectful. They were courteous and attentive. They were eager to learn. And it was just such a pleasure to work with them. I also saw how they were girls just like other girls I've known. They wanted to be accepted and loved. We went there every day for the 4 days to teach them. We had a class with them from, I remember, like from 12 to 2, Monday through Thursday. And they were always excited to see us, to give us hugs. They loved it when we praised them for a job well done and when we oohed and aahed over their work. We also heard how these girls have changed in just a year's time, because the school there in Kalpara had only been open for a year. And these girls all went, well, most of these girls went to that school. It was definitely evidence that God is doing a work in their lives. And the ladies and I, we have prayed and we're praying the whole time and continue to pray that this little thing that we taught them of jewelry making will make a difference in their lives, because we taught them that skill in the hopes that they will have something in which to make money and they won't need to go into the same line of work as their mothers. On Tuesday, a very special thing happened. After teaching the young girls, we always would go down to a different place, an office space, where we taught the class for the women. And on Tuesday, when we went down there, there wasn't too many women that showed an interest, and so there wasn't too many that had come on Tuesday. But so some of us were just sitting around, and one of the translators, Ruby, she had asked Soma to sing a song. And Soma is one of the girls that was brought up in the brothel and was actually rescued from the brothel and lives at the children's home that Matthew and Krista have. So, but she would come to learn the jewelry making, and so she was with us, and she always stayed with us when we went down to see the women. So Soma was there with us, and so Ruby was asking her to sing a song, because we were just sitting around. And at first she was like, no, she was like shy and everything. And then we finally talked her into singing, and she started singing Jesus Loves Me. And she was even doing like the hand motions and stuff, which was really cool. And so we all joined in singing with her. So we're singing Jesus Loves Me at the in this office, in this brothel in the Red Light District. It was just like an awesome, awesome thing. It just reminded me of one of those sweet kisses on the cheek from Jesus. And another thing that happened that day is we had been teaching Soma's mom that day. And when we got done, we were on the way out, and she stopped at a little concession stand type of thing, and she bought us all a drink. She was so thankful for us being there and teaching her daughter. And so she bought us a drink, and she gave us all a hug, and it was just overwhelming. It was very overwhelming for me. Another thing that happened was on Wednesday, we had got done teaching, and we were taking the two translators, are Ruby and Bandana, and we were taking them home in the taxi. Well, on the way, Ruby invited us all of us ladies, to come to her house for tea. And we were on the way to actually the children's home, and then Shannon was like, well, we should probably do this because she's inviting us for tea. This is a very important thing for them. So we went to, actually, we first stopped at the bank so she could get money. So then she could go to the bakery to buy us something to eat, which is very, very sweet. Of course, when we were at the bakery, you know me, I'm a baker, so I was so excited. I wanted to go in and take pictures of all the baked goods. Then we went to her house. And we had tea. We got to meet her children and see her house and talk with her. And we also got to ask her how we could pray for her and her family. And we spent some time praying for Ruby and her family and for, you know, Kristen, Matthew, and Ashish and Soma. And it was just very, very, very special time. And I know the three of us, we wouldn't have traded that time for anything. It was wonderful. So those are just a few things that I wanted to share with y'all. And going there and seeing firsthand all that God is doing, we got to see all that God has done through our church, different things that we have purchased as a church for them and built for them and done for them. Seeing all of that firsthand was a huge blessing. Going to Ashish's school, we got to do that on Monday, which was so, so sweet to see the kids, to hear them sing for us, and that was a very, very sweet time. But all of this is just what the Lord did, and for me to be able to stand up here and share that I went to India still blows my mind, and just the work that he's doing there. I am very, very thankful that I got to go and to be a part of this trip. And yes, I am planning to go back. Thank you.
Matt has that picture up there because if I could have, I would have snatched her and taken her back with us. That was a sweet little girl. That was at the park the first day. A lot of things that I wanted to talk about are going to be what Becky already mentioned, but I figure I might as well just talk about them because it's probably something God would like communicated. So, but before I get into India, I want to start just before the trip even happened. Up until a month before the trip, the women didn't, Shannon, Becky, and I didn't really know what our role was going to be there. There's a lot going on in India. There's a lot of opportunity for us to get involved and plugged in different places. And we didn't know what we were going to be doing. And I didn't want to show up and them have to feel like, okay, here are these missionary women from America. Let's keep them busy with something to do. You know, I didn't want something like that. So I had many of you, as you asked what to pray for, I had many of you praying, you know, that God would reveal what he would want us to do. while we were there. And a month before we left, Krista and Matthew visited. And Krista, they were here, and Krista confirmed that we could teach the women jewelry making. And so we thought, awesome. None of us are jewelry makers. What do we do now? But I had it in the back of my mind that I think Shannon had mentioned it might be something that we could do. So I do have a friend who's a jewelry maker, and so 6 months even before India, I just said, if it happens that we have to teach jewelry making, would you be willing to teach the three of us women who are going? And she said yes. And so I saw her again a couple months later. Okay, if it's going to happen, would you still be willing? Yes, she said. So a month before we happened, I'm like, okay, it's on. And so would you teach us? And so we got together the day it snowed, the big day, snow day here. And she taught us two different kind of bracelets. You know, I mean, everything was new for us. There's a lot of tools involved in jewelry making. There's parts and pieces and, you know, all foreign to us. So as we were talking with my friend Cindy about, you know, what we need and as far as supplies, and beads were a big thing. Where do we buy the beads? You can go to Michael's and buy beads, but, you know, you're paying a lot of money. So Cindy, my friend, who's a jewelry maker, we were at her house still, and she said, you know what? I've got these beads that I've kind of just collected over the years, and I've been trying to sell them on eBay or Etsy or whatever, and they just haven't sold, and I've got these beads, and, you know, you guys can have them if you want them. So she brings this, like, 20-pound bag of beads, and initially, because we're not jewelry makers, we thought, oh, $30 worth of beads maybe, you know, this is awesome. And so we started going through them. Shannon went through the tedious work of categorizing and putting them all together. And we figure, now that we know a little bit more what we're doing, it was $200 to $300 worth of beads that she gave us. And they were nice beads. They're not the plastic VBS beads. They were nice beads. So we were able to get the girls started with really quality material to make good beads or to make good jewelry. Speaking of which, we brought back some of their work. And so there are bracelets for sale afterwards, and Shannon has them. And they're $15 a piece, and they're really pretty. And each bag with the bracelet in it has the girl's name who made it. So if any of you are interested, see Shannon afterwards. There's not very many, though. So, limited quantities.
I'm in marketing.
So, you can start going through. So that was just so cool. Anyway, how God, even before we left, had already supplied our needs for beads. You know, he had my friend not be able to sell them because he was saving them for us. So, that was awesome. Just how he had already gone before and paved the way. So one of the things I wanted to talk about, too, and I'm not going to get teary here. I don't need that. Okay. What Becky said about the girls, they were incredible. Okay. They grew up in a brothel. In filth and depravity. You could keep working through them. But look at them. You see God's grace. And it's just so evident, as Becky said, our translators and our teachers, Ruby and Bondana, said that they have just seen a tremendous change in the girls and in the kids in the last year that school has been there. And God's grace is so evident. The girls were tender, and they were respectful, and they were enthusiastic, and eager to learn, and they are so appreciative of what we did for them. Okay, I'm done now crying. So the Pesas will always be with me and with us. And this jewelry making hopefully will just give them another opportunity to make money and a new road in life. And so it's so much more than just jewelry making. I think that's all I wanted to say about the girls. Another neat thing that we got to do, as Becky said, was we got to visit the Ashish and Soma's church, and we got to visit the school there. And it was it was surreal walking into that place after, you know, Shannon has stood up here and talked about the wall that we were raising money for at VBS, or the school lunches, or the water filtration system. And I was standing in the courtyard, and I was looking around seeing the wall, and I saw the water filtration system and the lunchroom where they prepare all the meals. And it's like, wow, you know, our money at work, you know, how God is using it. And that was awesome. And to God be the glory. Another thing that I was excited to see and hear about, one of our VBS projects here was to buy several computers for Ashish's school, which he uses to teach the kids. And, you know, that's wonderful that he uses it to teach the kids, but you know what else he does? He opens the school a couple nights a week to the community, and the community comes, and he helps them to learn computer skills, which is huge because they don't all have computers in their homes. I can tell you probably none of the people we met do. So that's huge that he is community-minded in that respect. And so I feel like our money goes so far there, and it's such a good investment, and it's used so wisely. So thank you all for praying for us while we were there. We definitely felt your prayers, and thank you for your financial investment and just all your encouraging notes and everything. So thank you.
She's going to get me crying up here. That's going to be really bad. I used all my time when I did my Kosovo presentation, so I got like 2 minutes up here. I'll try and be brief. I probably won't be, but wanted to go back. I wanted to give you a couple of my impressions. By the way, this is Bandana and Ruby here. Interpreters, they work there. I mean, when we leave, they're there all the time, and they're incredible, wonderful. Can't give them enough accolades for what they're doing. And Bandana is actually the wife of another guy, Alok, that we met. He was in business, had a great job, well paid for being in India, and he gave that all up to become a church planner. And he has a lot of church planners under him. And just when he was telling us about this story, he broke down kind of like Vicky did, just how, and I'm going to, because I'm remembering it here, how the Lord provided richly for him in doing that and giving up a very good paying job. And if you've ever been to India, they're hard to come by. And he's provided everything they need for, they actually still live in the same place they did before. They have a nice vehicle by Indian standards, which he needs for traveling where he needs to go. And just seeing the gratefulness in his heart that the Lord is providing for him in his passion, which is to plant churches. So what I kind of want to do is just give you some of my impressions from going on this trip. And mostly it's going to be, I would say, to my shame. You could use the word conviction for the way me as an American views a lot of things. And one thing I'll just bring up real quickly is like Nick was talking about when they sat in the congregation and would start a song, and they all knew the words. They didn't need a PowerPoint. And they weren't concerned about how well this one was sounding or that. I can't hear my guitar this morning. Give me more me. I don't like the way this mic is. I don't like this key. You know, it's they've got 1.4 billion people in India, and I'll bet you 99.9999% of them are not complaining about those things. Even when we went to, and I'll have a picture of it here, when we went to the church on the Nepali border, the dude had a Gibson guitar, you know, that looked like you could pay $4 for it at a dime store kind of thing. And his dad, who was the pastor, played these little conga things. And it was some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard in my life. When we were at the conference center, the one of the guys played on a chair. That was his drum. They didn't have any instruments when they would sing. Somebody would just start singing a song. It was amazing how many of them were hymns. You could recognize the tune, but we certainly couldn't sing any of the words they were singing. Sometimes when we could, we would sing the English version of the tune. But the guy was making some noise on that chair that I didn't know was possible. Nate could probably do it, but we were all impressed with his skill on the chair. I play the chair, you know. You know, the things that we get caught up with in here, I was ashamed of when I was there. I'm going all over the place here now. Let me. Girls were absolutely beautiful. They were so sweet. This is the best picture I've got of Ashish on his scooter. That's all he's got to get around. You can't see it very well. He's got a big smile on his face. And actually, Soma is sitting, I think, side saddle behind him. That's how he always rode the scooter, was always smiling. Ashish, what a guy. I'm telling you, wish you could all meet him. Even at the airport when he met us, you know. Are you talking any this morning? Okay, I'll tell a little bit. Ashish, when Nick was talking to him the other day on the phone, he was talking about, I'm so excited, I'm standing in the house you built for me. And he was talking about us in general. We built for him. And so this is his house. Is one of these a pointer? Okay, well, the lower really gray part with the red bottom is his house. Now, when after the church service, he couldn't wait to show us the house. And we went into the house. He was weeping that we've provided this for him. And by Indian standards, it's a fantastic house. But my apartment in college was bigger and more well furnished than his house was, and he was weeping. Look what you've done for me. Look at this, and it was beautiful. But don't think for a minute that Ashish went overboard with we sent him money. I'm going to build myself this fantastic, awesome house, and you know I'll take what's left and build other stuff. If anything, it was the exact opposite. The church, which is the yellow building there, is bigger than his house. And probably he made sure that was taken care of before his house. His house isn't really even quite finished yet, but I can't describe how grateful he is for what we've done in that. The top part that you're seeing there above the gray part, that's not really his house. That's a place he's trying to build and finish out for the church planters when they come through for training and other things like that. That's going to be bigger than his house is. And he's building that on top of his house. He's not concerned about, you know, I got a bunch of guys living upstairs. He wants to build this church planners thing. And I think that's a goat, the little right there. That's the property we bought for their expansion. And you can see on the gray part over here, there's a cow, because there's cows everywhere. And there's that's the wall we helped pay for and build. The community, I think we've mentioned it before, but all the property values up in this area are sky high now because of the school. And everybody's begging him to expand. I think it goes through fifth grade right now, fourth grade. And he would like to expand and go to eighth grade. And that's part of it. You know, originally this was to expand a play area or something for the kids. He'd really like to use it to expand and get up to eighth grade because the community is begging him to do that because the school rocks. You know, it's awesome. So one of my other impressions is there's not a dime that I can send to India that is not incredibly well spent and doesn't really, really, really go really far. I was shocked at what our money has accomplished there. And praise God. I mean, it was, I was overjoyed, and I was also overjoyed on one hand, shamed on the other. Like, why do I need an iPad Air? I hope nobody works for Apple. You know, why do I need this new device or something? If I send this to India, they can build a church, you know, for what I'll pay for this device. I'm not trying to shame anybody else. I'm just saying, for me, I'm like, I need to be more careful about my consumeristic mentality, my American idea of, and see what, you know, what's going on here and what they can do. This is a couple of folks standing in the courtyard of the school, and these are all buildings and the fence and all that stuff that we help provide for, either through VBS with water filtration and all that, or the computers or whatever. Wow, you know, like Vicky said, it was really cool to say, man, I'm seeing this tangible stuff that was done through the kids in VBS or through us sending money or whatever. Wow. That's all I could say there. Another quick little story. When Rob went to India a few years ago, he went with a black guitar and left it there. Kind of always wondered what happened to the guitar. And I don't have it here, but Vicky was... she videoed. We didn't get to go the day they saw these kids singing this song, and there's this dude standing there playing a black guitar. And it looks like it's in really good shape. It was new when it went, but you'd think going to India it would be all beat up. It looked pretty new from what I could tell, and the dude was doing a really nice job playing it. And the kids were singing, and it was very cool. Well, that was the guitar, and that's what it's being used for. And amen. Just very cool. I guess, okay, I'll move on to the, I'm not doing good, am I? This is what it looked like from the back. You can see Nick's head there. When we were training, Steve's up there training. That's Bakash, I think, doing the translation. There were some crazy things, like Steve talked about. It's actually like 2,600 languages in India, and a lot of them, they're not even close. It's not like you can say, well, you know, these are Latin languages, and they're somewhat related, you know, French, you can pick out some words. We would read a scripture sometimes, and then I could read it in my head three more times before they finished it in Bengali, because it's just a very verbose, long language. And some of the translation was difficult, and sometimes Steve would say something, and then, you know, Jesus wept. And 20 minutes later, when the translator was done, we're all looking at each other like, what in the world? But, and then every once in a while, you'd hear them say an English word. And we're like, what's with that? And I asked Bakash about it. He said, because the Bengali word is like this long, and we'd rather say bag, because it's much easier. He'd rather speak English. A lot of them would rather speak English. And we did run into the problems. Some of them actually don't speak Bengali. Matthew does not speak Bengali, in case you didn't know that. He speaks whatever it is from Kolata, or where he's actually from the other side of India, so he would speak Hindi, because a lot of them speak Hindi and English, so that's what he would use in West Bengal. Again, listening to these guys sing and worship, and not be concerned and clap and, you know, praise God without all the accoutrements and everything like that, was incredible, awesome. Help me reorient some of my thinking, hopefully, and not get so bent out of shape about things that don't really matter. The other thing was some of these guys, one guy I talked to, I think he's 23 years old, maybe he was 27, Pramod. And he came to Christ about 4 years ago, I think it was, and he's the only one in his family. So, once again, he gave up everything. When he came to Christ, he gave up everything. He was, at the time, he's married and had a wife and a son. Well, at that point, he didn't have a son. Before that, he had a young son, and through black magic, his son died when he got sick and going through that. So he lost a son back when he was Hindu, and after he came to Christ, they now have a new son, and he feels like God has... blessed them, or in a sense replaced that son. And he's moving down. There's islands south of Calcutta that he'll be ministering in. There's like 2,600 islands or something crazy down there. Very hot, very, you know, They won't have air conditioning. They won't have, you know, he'll have his two sets of clothes that he goes down there with his family. There's Bengal tigers down there that, you know, he actually kept asking me to pray for them, not to protect them from the tigers, because I guess that's a big problem down there. But he was excited to go down there and share the gospel. And so here's a guy, once again, giving up everything because he's sold out for Jesus and wants other people. He wanted me to pray about him telling his parents, because he hasn't told them yet, that he's a Christian now. And, you know, he knows that he'll be ostracized within his family. And there were many, many of the guys, same thing. As soon as they came to Christ, they had to give up everything. I can't understand. I can't really fathom that, you know, here. Another thing there was we were told, I can't remember if this was from one of the church planters or if it was from Ashish, but I think it was one of the church planters, correct me if I'm wrong, who said these guys can share the gospel and they know the gospel, but it doesn't go a lot deeper than that. There's a lot of things they don't know about God. And, you know, we would say, well, why don't we just teach them how to share the gospel? Well, they're doing that, but it's also very important that they need to know the attributes of God and who God is. They need to understand the Trinity and other things like that, because if they don't, next thing you know, they're Gnostics, or they get pulled in by the Jehovah's Witnesses or some kind of conglomeration of Christianity and something else that it doesn't need to be. And they need to have a right understanding of who God is, who they are. Even, you know, in America we get great teaching and we can understand we're filthy sinners. And it wasn't me. I didn't choose Christ. Christ chose me. And it's important that we know that so we don't become self-righteous, we don't get legalistic, and other things like that. So that's one of the reasons why this training was so important. Another thing with the training, I was astounded with the depth of it, how good it was, how much scripture was in it. It was really, really, really good stuff. Scott Kay, man, the guy is going to get some extra jewels in his crown in heaven. It was really good stuff. Let's see. Yeah. I'll get that. Okay, so I just threw a couple of pictures of some like street scenes in here, because this is one of the other things that, as an American, you know, we can drive down the road and everything's pretty and clean and all that. You can go to some rough places in America, but for the most part, America's a pretty clean place. It's kind of the opposite in India. India's very trashy in a lot of places, and we went to one place in Delhi that happened to be, we felt like we were in America because it was a nice mall and it was clean. I can't convey to you the amount of noise that was going on at this point. They used their horns as a turn signal, they used their horns as a communication device, actually. Just anything. I'm passing you. I'm now past you. I'm about to pass you. I'm turning. I might hit you. And different size vehicles have different size horns. Okay. Here, everybody turn around. Look at that. You don't need to look at me anyways. Now it's not on. Now we don't have the screen. They lost the screen back there too. Okay, there we go. So again, this can't convey the smells, the noise, the people. There are people, like I said, there's 1.4 billion people. There are people everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's people walking, driving 16 different types of vehicles. If you look on a scooter, there's 16 people on the scooter. You know, it was amazing. Just real quick, it was really funny when we were in Delhi. Driving down the road, there was a mom, dad, and a baby on a scooter, and the baby was sprawled out between them, arms, legs going everywhere, hanging out, fast asleep on the scooter going 50 miles an hour down the road. It was amazing. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. So I bring these up because, you know, Kalpara is like that, noisy, dirty, oh, the smells in Kalpara, just horrible. And one day we weren't in Kalpara, but we were at the training center, and we were going from the training center, and we were supposed to go by the children's home. Once again, man, the children's home. Can't give enough money to the children's home and what they're doing there. And that struck me as we went from the training. I rode with Bakash on his motorcycle, and we went the further, or the closer, I should say, we got to the children's home, the more peaceful it became. And then there was this like lane, and at the end of it is the children's home, and there was this field, and there sat Megan, and I think I've got a picture, Megan with a bunch of the children, and there were dragonflies buzzing around her head, making sweet little dragonfly noises, and all the noise was gone, and all of a sudden, it was like going from hell to heaven. And not really, but you can imagine, it was just like, this was like, I was suddenly in heaven on earth. It was the most beautiful thing I've seen. And it just let me know, look at what I'm doing here. You know, the guy was saying, look what I'm doing here. These children all came out of Kalpara. And I saw other children running around, you know, near the sewer or whatever, with the sad looks on their face or whatever. These ones, you know, you can see happiness. And it was the same thing when we went to the church on the Nepali border. Those two little kids that were up top to greet us, if they didn't have angelic shining faces and halos around their head, they were really close. And I could tell we got to where the church was just from those kids. There was just something different. And the children's home, by American standards, stark. You know, it looks kind of cool, like a castle in the pictures. Half the windows are broken. You know, as you get closer, don't think, well, Matthew and Krista are living in this pretty sweet-looking cool place. It's pretty stark inside. They have, like, one light bulb and some dirty couches. Awesome place. Awesome what they're doing there. And it was, the kids were fantastic. That's kind of weird. Let's see. Thought I had one in the picture. Okay. I'll move on. Real quick, when we were doing Scott's training material, I told Vicki the material is incredible and all that stuff, but I really like teaching from my own stuff, because I know where I wanted to go with something, or I know it better, and I don't feel so, I don't want to call it sterile, but, you know, I was just saying, you know, the training's great and all that, but, you know, I kind of like teaching from my own stuff. So the last day of training, there's Alok right there, and he said, oh, on the way to Darjeeling, we'd like to stop by this church and we'd like one of you to preach the Good Friday message. And Nick had already preached at Ashish's church, and I was like, I guess that means me. So Vicky's like, you had to open your big fat mouth. You get to teach from your own material now. So that was at the church. Alok translated for me. The cool thing about that was I didn't have to prepare quite as much stuff, because it was going to take twice as long with the translation. So. This was the pastor of the church. I asked him to let me take a picture of him, and what I really wanted was a picture of him and his Bible, because if you could have seen his Bible, that's the most weathered Bible I've ever seen, and I could tell the man is in the Word. And so, you know, I said, I want to take a picture of you, so he stood there, and I'm like, oh, I want you to grab your Bible right there. I want to make sure I get a picture. You can't really see it that great in that picture. The dude is in the Word, so that was cool. This is his 16-year-old son with his Gibson guitar. I had to get a picture of Nick and I with him and his guitar. Fantastic job leading their worship. The joy of the Lord was all over him, and he wants to grow up to be like his dad and be a pastor. Wish I had a picture of the three or four girls that sang with him. Man, great joy in their faces. And, yeah, I think that's all I got, so.
Jesus, Lord of life and glory, bend from heaven thy gracious ear. While our waiting souls adore thee, friend of helpless sinners here. From the depth of nature's blindness, from the hardening power of sin, from all malice and...
Not on the